My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you very much. I've said it before, now I find myself saying it again. Welcome to My Music. On hand, as usual, are John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Here's the first question for John. John, music is often described these days by people younger than us as brilliant or even brill. In my day, it was fantastic, and the Beatles introduced us to fab. Would you say, then, that this piece of music you're going to hear now was fab, fantastic, or brill?
I should say it was symphony.
simply a symphony.
Yes.
But if you had to choose, would it be...
I think I'd call it fantastic.
Yes, probably. You would be right. Symphonie fantastique, if you can bear my pronunciation.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Yes. It's a classy quiz, this.
Yeah, well, the composer, please.
Berlioz,
yes, that's right.
Berlioz once said of Saint-Saëns, who was the brilliant young chap, Brill. He said, yes, he lacks everything except inexperience.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
Right,
over to... Win a few, lose a few.
Frank, can you put, Frank, a fairly precise date, please, to this song?
Goodbye, Sally, I'm saying goodbye. Goodbye, Sally, I don't want you to cry. I want to see that smile, that wonderful smile that's going to cheer me on my way.
Arthur Risco, saw the show, Shepherd's Pie, maybe.
Yeah, it was in Shepherd's Pie.
Yeah,
right.
It was Howard. The lovely comic.
It would have to be early...
Well, it would have to be before the Siegfried Lion got penetrated.
Yeah, that's right. Early 1940 at the latest.
1941, yes.
I had a letter from Norman Ford of Bournemouth.
Oh,
one of our listeners. I will, actually, because he heard a dance band broadcast in late 1940. They'd obviously put the song in because it was popular. And when the singer came to that line, he got more and more nervous. And he sang in the end, not this singer on the radio, "I'm going to cheer me on my way right through the..." Goodbye, Sally.
It was a very sweet pop song, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Very nice. At the audiences at Shepherd's Pie, you know, were given a song sheet in which the words appeared until the Siegfried line went for a Burton, and then they changed that line then to "Cheer me on my way, someday the sun will shine." Which isn't as good.
No, is it?
No.
It was Leslie Henson, wasn't it?
No, he wasn't in that
one. And Sidney Howard.
No, it was Richard Hearn in Richard Hearn,
they did this acrobat sketch and they had that rosin rag.
Yes.
They tossed like each other. But they tossed it for about 10 minutes. Yeah. And all they did was toss.
It was also responsible that show for a song which kind of haunted every army dance, and you must have played 1,000 times.
What?
Well, the last song that you always played at the dance is Who?
Oh.
That's what it came from.
Was that in that as well? I remember that. Ian, it's your turn. I know you like this music, I know you love it, but can we have, please, the composer's name and just some idea of the date?
Well, thank you for playing that such a long passage from it, because I do like it very much indeed. This is The Land of the Mountain and the Flood, and the composer is the Scots composer Hamish McCann, and you said a date.
Well, approximately.
Well, I know he composed it when he was 19.
That's incredible, but it's true.
Which
yes.
was a wonderful piece of work for a young man of 19, and indeed, it was performed in that year in a concert at the Crystal Palace. He didn't conduct it, but
no.
Now, as far as the date of that was concerned, I would have thought somewhere in the early 1890s.
Could I conduct a round of applause for you? not too much, because he wasn't absolutely right. Hamish McGunn, composed in 1887, when he was a 19-year-old student at the Royal College of Music under Parry and Stanford there. Dennis, signature tunes. Yes, I'm not going to ask you which signature tune that was, Dennis, but who did Max Beerbohm claim started signature tunes?
The reason I know this is in a roundabout way from this programme. You asked a question something like this, must have been about 1928. And it's something on the lines of who did the first signature tune. I said it was Albert Whelan, which was... who was a comedian, an Australian, who used to sing, who used to whistle. That's my backing group, you see. They come in, when I just have to snap
Lustiger my finger.
Lustiger Brüder. And then I got these letters that said, no, it wasn't, and quoting Max Beerbohm's essay on the music hall, wasn't it? And
well, he wasn't the listener, actually.
Oh, well, but... And he said it was a man called R.G. Knowles, and I looked up R.G. Knowles and became fascinated by him because he was quite a remarkable comedian of the time in what 1897. He used to come on with the Wedding March.
That's right.
He was a kind of monologuist, and he used to work always with the house lights up. He was the only comedian who did, because he used to work directly off the audience to the response. Now, that's a very modern,
dangerous
sort of thing. But he used to come on with the Wedding March, he used to describe it as the greatest war song ever written.
R.G. Knowles, the very peculiar American comedian,
Mr.
Brown, in the 1880s and 90s. And his nephew actually wrote to me confirming the fact that it was R.G. Knowles. Max Beerbohm writing in The Listener, who made that claim. Right, let's go round again. He who answers correctly first gets the mark. The question, what, musically speaking, links these famous people? Musically speaking. Boris Karloff, Wilfred Pickles, Angela Rippon, Sean Connery, David Bowie, Sir Ralph Richardson, Prokofiev's widow, Wogan, and Sting.
it's so obvious.
Perfectly. I was going to say that they're all on the new Madonna video.
not Prokofiev's widow.
But what I think...
She's the clue.
No, Dennis is trying to amuse you, Steve. None of them...
Play me along.
None of them can play the Peruvian nose flute.
Well, I don't know. Let me look through the list again. I'm not sure about David. David Bowie, he might.
Sting, very likely. He's been round that way, hasn't he?
Yes. Sting, yes, probably.
But half a mug each, please.
You know, anyway.
Move on. Half a mug each.
Yeah, okay. What the fact is, they all narrated... Tell me.
Oh, Peter and the Wolf.
Thank you, Peter and the Wolf, yes. And then, which of them is this?
In the tale you are about to hear...
Who was that?
It's Johnny. Prokofiev's widow doing an impression. doing a wonderful impression of John Gielgud.
Unmistakably it's John Gielgud, yes.
So lifelike.
So you win a Brain of Britain quiz book and this round of applause. John Gielgud.
I heard a charming story about John Gielgud. You know how he's famous for his dropping bricks. And people had been getting at him a little bit. So he was really, really being very cautious. He went to a reception, and a woman came up to him and said, I don't know whether you remember me, Sir John, but I met you last year. I'm Peter Schaffer's mother.
And John looked at her and said, "You may very well be."
Because there's nothing wrong with it, is there? It's lovely. Well, there's a tune I like playing on the piano, so I'm going to play it, but four bars or so at a time, with questions for you in between. That's called My Ship. So, the subject is ships for the moment. The Flying Dutchman, John. What does he need in order to redeem himself from damnation, and how often can he try to find what he seeks?
He needs a woman who will redeem him by loving.
Yes, and how often can he look for her?
Yes, don't we all, that's frankly.
Yeah, indeed, yes. But more frequently in our case. Yes, go on.
Pardon me?
How many years has he, must he...
Oh, work? About seven.
Yes, seven exactly, actually. Seven exactly. Yes. Right, Frank, let me play the next few bars of My Ship and then ask you a question.
Please do. Go on, hit me, Steve.
Well, all right, then I will. In another nautical connection, who is the rosiest, the roundest, and the reddest beauty in all Spithead?
Well, it's what's her married name? That's the one, isn't it? Mrs. Sykes, is it? It's Little Buttercup.
Little Buttercup, yes. Yeah,
she's also right. Got a married name.
Yeah. She's the bumboat woman in HMS Pinafore. Which leads me to my subsidiary question, if it isn't a rude answer, what's a bumboat?
A bumboat is a little smallish boat which potted around the side of incoming vessels and sold things to the sailors, baccy and stuff.
And the Oxford English Dictionary very wisely gives its origin as adultful, which I think is fair. Ian, four more bars of My Ship. And for you, it's a bit of musical theatre plot. Pretty far-fetched stuff, too. Lord Radio gives the inventor of television £500 on condition that he will keep his invention secret. Interesting speculation. But the hero and Militza are involved in a spectacular shipwreck on stage. Which show was that?
This has a sort of taste of Ivan Novello, is it not?
Yes.
The terrific shipwreck on the stage.
Drury Lane.
And I remember a show-stopping performance by Elizabeth Welch.
That's right. Remember the title of the show?
It was Glamorous Night.
Glamorous Night, yes. That's
if you ever saw that shipwreck, you will fail to be impressed by the helicopter in Miss Saigon, I might tell you.
You don't like Miss Saigon, do you? You've been against it, ever since you came back.
Dennis, I'm going back to the piano. You've had plenty of time, Dennis, to think about who wrote the words and music of My Ship, and for which show?
It's for Lady in the Dark.
Yeah.
It was Kurt Weill wrote the music, and Ira Gershwin wrote the lyric, and Moss Hart wrote the book.
Yeah. And who was the original Lady in the Dark?
Well, originally, when it was on Broadway, it was Gertrude Lawrence and Danny Kaye, and Danny Kaye did that wonderful Tchaikovsky song.
Yes. In the film...
In the film, which was not very good, there was Ginger Rogers and Danny Kaye was taken over by Misha Auer. And they'd actually dropped the lyric, didn't they, for the film?
They did, yes. I don't think you'll know this, but there was a TV version in America in 1954 in which the Lady in the Dark was, do you know?
No.
Anne Southern.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Words from songs. Even half a line can be memorable somehow. John, Frosty Wind Made Moan.
Sounds like a medieval one.
Frosty Wind.
The audience knows, I think. Yes.
What's it?
Frosty Wind Made Moan. It comes from In the Bleak Midwinter. which, of course, musically speaking, was Gustav Holst, but the words by Christina Rossetti. You didn't get that, did you?
Well, would
right.
You?
Right.
Always on Beethoven, but we come to something decent.
Frank, see if you can place what? This. Greta Garbo has had me to tea.
You? But I can't get started.
Yes, I can't get started with you, Ira Gershwin's lyric. Yeah. Ian, another quote. Later on, all tired and sleepy, he creeps back home to his teepee. Would you care for
does
a musical?
Does he, by Jove?
Oh.
Totem
Tom. Rosemary, yes. Totem Tom Tom.
Oh, Rosemary, I love you.
Same show, that's right. Dennis, The Early Bright. The Early Bright.
The Early Bright. No, I don't know that one. Well, that's... There, that's. I'll be world. Seeing. I'll see you in the morning light. I'll see
yes,
you in
but
the
Frank Sinatra.
Oh, it's one of his.
Made
yes.
it the early bright.
Ah, it's, well, it must have been a very late one because yeah. I got a lovely version of him doing it with Axel Stordahl, where he didn't muck about.
No, not, oh, not then. No, yeah. No. It was Nelson Riddle days he mucked about.
Yes, yeah.
There's been a recent recording of The Beggar's Opera with some very recognisable people in the main roles. John, the part of bring that. Who was the singer, John?
I don't know.
Anybody else know? Yes.
Dame
Kiri Takanawa.
Is it?
Yes.
I heard somebody pronounce that name as Kiwi Takanawa, and I thought it'd be a wonderful dish, you know, like they named Peach Melba after Melba, to have a dish called Kiwi Takanawa, wouldn't it?
It's actually an anagram of curry takeaway.
Frank, your turn, sir. Frank. The part of Mr. Peacham on this recording was played by, well, you tell me who.
Of life, each neighbour abuses his brother. Poor and rogue, they call husband and wife. All professions be rogue one another.
Very old friend and associate Alfred Marx.
That's right, it was Alfred. That's
we were together in the RAF. Yeah. And he sang like that then.
Yes, it's a great voice. Yeah. Ian, the beggar had a recognisable voice as well.
If poverty be a title to poetry, I'm sure nobody can dispute mine. I own myself at the Company of Beggars, and I make one at their weekly festivals at St. Giles's.
Not Benny Green, but...
No. That's Warren Mitchell.
Yeah, that's right. Dennis, the actress playing Mrs. Peacham is perhaps a little more difficult to place.
Slut nor eat what we have taught her. I wonder any man alive will ever rear a daughter. For she must have both boots and gowns and boots to swell her pride. With scarves and stays and gloves and lights and all that men beside. And when she's dressed with care and cost all tempting, fine and gay, as men should serve a cucumber, she flings herself away.
Any idea?
No, I really don't.
Born in London, but one thinks of her in an American connection rather.
Georgia Brown. Yeah.
No, that's not Georgia Brown.
No,
it's
no.
Not sort of
she didn't chocolatey. Write. She didn't write The Beggar's Opera, but she did write Murder.
Oh, Angela Lansbury.
Angela Lansbury. Of Murder, she wrote. Yes. Angela Lansbury. That's right. Anyway, away with the score sheet. Let's have some singing to close. Frank chooses a Jerome Kern song.
Who have I? I've told every little star just how sweet I think you are. Why haven't I told you? I've told ripples in a brook made my heart an open book. Why haven't I told you? Friends ask me, am I in love? I always answer yes. Might as well confess. If I don't, they guess. Maybe you may know it too. Oh, my darling, if you do, why haven't you told me?
Very nice.
John has a whistled waltz, which happens to be my Brahms, but I'm going to slip in first a few bars on the piano, also a waltz, of something I like by Armstrong Gibbs, called Dusk. So it's me first while John gets his pucker up in trim. So to Dennis with a song of maternal advice to a daughter.
Yes, lower your aesthetic side.
Mary was young, Mary was fair, Mary was her mother's despair. When she started courting, her mother sadly said, Mary, you have quite a lot to learn before you're wed. You ought to know better, a big girl like you. When I was 20, I knew plenty, a thing or two. I let men go so far, no further, Napoo. 'Cause I knew what to do. Oh, didn't I rather ask your father? When your boy gets moony-eyed and plays around for hours, just lead him up the garden, but don't let him pick the flowers. Remember what your mother said and keep him off your parsley bed. You ought to know better, a big girl like you.
How do you follow that?
It's well, sad to see the old standards going.
Ian, have a go anyway.
Yes. Right. Da, 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 da.
The sun is a-shining to welcome the day. Hey-ho, come to the fair. The folk are all singing so merry and gay. Hey-ho, come to the fair. All the stalls on the green are as fine as can be, with trinkets and tokens so pretty to see. So it's come then, maidens and men, to the fair in the bright of the morning. So take yourselves out in your finest array, with a hey-ho, come to the fair. Maidens and men, maidens and men, come to the fair in the morning. Hey-ho, come to the fair.
Not style. That's what they call going out with a bang. As far as the earlier quiz part of our show is concerned, that was a very tiny victory for Dennis and Ian. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Richard Edis.